Start your day with the Slumberland Furniture Studio. This is 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
It is 7:42 at 95.3 WBEV, our Green and Gold Preview with Jason Wilde, brought to you by Columbus Family Dental and the Bayside Supper Club. Thursdays, 5 till 8:30, you can have their famous chicken and rib combo, 10-ounce prime rib or the Thursday shrimp special, along with their regular menu. Friday tonight, the all-you-can-eat chicken and seafood buffet from 4:30 to 9. Saturday, their prime rib shrimp seafood buffet from 5 till 8:30. Sunday brunch is every Sunday from 10:30 till 1:30. Book your wedding anniversary company event. If you haven't got that holiday party in yet, they can take care of you there as well. As we bring in our green and gold Packers guy, Jason Wilde. Hey, Jason, how you doing today?
Hey, Wade, I'm great. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Is this going to be the – I was just telling you, hopefully this is the last time we chat for the 2023 season with the Packers and Bears. Kind of a winner go home, but not necessarily that for Green Bay.
Yeah, it's – I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's winner go home. Like, they need three other games or three out of four other games to go their way if they were to lose. So I would say it's – pretty close to being win or go home. I don't think they're making the playoffs if they lose, but they are definitely 100% making the playoffs if they win, and I'm eager to see if they can pull it off.
Well, week one, when Jay Love bought into the ownership of the Chicago Bears and destroyed Chicago in that opener, and then you had some bumps along the road. You went from him being the next Patrick Mahomes to, oh my gosh, they got to draft Caleb Williams, to all of a sudden again trending upward. It's been an interesting ride to get in this situation, in this position, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a hell of a ride, and look, I said going into the season that I thought this was going to be the most fascinating season I've covered in all my years, because there was so much uncertainty and so much youth and so much unknown, and you know, especially with what Jordan Love has done and what this offense has done, it's been incredibly impressive. And yeah, there was the October swoon where they were pretty darn bad. And I think it's important to remember that, because I think folks have forgotten that, quite frankly. You know, the shock that Jordan Love wasn't a Pro Bowler or whatever else. Like, he had a pretty rough stretch, and so did this offense. I mean, it took them forever to score 30 points. I know they've done it now in back-to-back games, but they had not done that since they did it in the opener against these very same Bears, who are not, by the way, the very same Bears, especially defensively. So, It's been quite a ride, and watching this offense grow together and watching this quarterback kind of find his footing and become a very good player this season, and now he's got to sustain it, obviously, for the next 5, 10, 15 years, has been fun to watch, and I'm eager to see what happens next.
I'm still fascinated by... I don't think I remember, not just the Packers, you know, but, you know, NFL kind of keep an eye on things, you know, around the league, but a team that goes from looking so bad, like in October, I mean, their offense was just, if you call it brutal.
Terrible. Think,
yeah, I mean, it was bad. I mean, and how you can turn it around and now all of a sudden look like a juggernaut in just a couple of weeks, man, that's going to be one, you know, maybe they'll write a book on this someday on the 2023 season, maybe, especially if it turns into the beginning of hopefully another upward swing for the Packers.
Yeah, you know, there was a time, if you remember, in October where we were talking about on this show whether or not this whole idea of having Love and all these young guys grow together was a good plan, because it was so bad. And look, to me, you know, there's two really big changes beyond just Jordan Love playing better as a first-year starter. Because it's hard to be good as a first-year starter. You know, I know C.J. Stroud has had a good season for the Texans as a rookie, number two overall pick. Certainly Bryce Young has not. In Carolina, and lots of first-year starters do struggle. But I think the two things that have happened with this offense beyond Love's just personal improvement are all these young guys have finally figured out how to play offense, right? You got a bunch of guys that are now, unlike earlier in the year, where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. And that's a pretty key component to having an effective offense. And those guys weren't doing that early in the year. You know, we saw guys running wrong routes. We saw the issues that they had. And then the other part of it is that Matt LaFleur has finally said, you know, and I think this started to happen going into Detroit, where they finally said, look, we got to stop babying these guys. Like, we can't just put all these simple plays on our call sheet. We got to challenge them. And we got to give Jordan some smart, well-designed plays to work with so he's not just throwing short passes at the line of scrimmage and trying to kind of win games by dinking and dunking teams to death. And, you know, they did that in Pittsburgh. Then they certainly did it when they went to Detroit on Thanksgiving. And look, they're still an inconsistent team. Like, their offense was not very good on Monday Night Football against the Giants, and that wasn't that long ago, right? That was less than a month ago. Their offense, and particularly their defense, was horrendous against the Bucs. And so they're still very much capable of beating anybody, except maybe San Francisco, and losing to anybody. And we saw that, you know, they almost found a way after a 30-16 lead to lose to Carolina. So this is what happens with youth, but I don't know how you can come out of this season, no matter what happens on Sunday. I don't know how you don't come out of this season as a Packers fan incredibly encouraged by how far they've come and what the future looks like.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sherry Sackett has arrived into the studio this morning. Hello, Sherry.
Oh my gosh, stop.
Is that how it works? Sherry, welcome. I know Sherry had to step out for a couple of seconds, but that's what you're looking for?
I mean, one would think...
You drop rose petals, too?
I was going to say, one would think I should have been carried in.
Well, that's Lenny's job. That's not our job.
Perhaps some grapes. I don't know. Rose petals, I'll take those.
Sherry was actually breaking down the lines with ESPN bets to see what she's going to do on this game on Sunday. That's where she was.
Yeah, that's what I was
getting thinking. Her prize picks in, yeah.
She's got to do that. So this Jair Alexander thing here today, you had a chance to talk to him this week. It was kind of, I don't know, where do you think this whole thing is at now with him back?
Oh, it's puppy dogs and ice cream. It's seashells and balloons. Everybody's in love. Like Lenny and Sherry.
Yeah.
Everything's great. Look, I don't know. He's back. I don't know what his role's going to be. They did not just flat out come out and say, yeah, he's going to start. He's our lockdown guy. He's going to be out there. So they've been kind of reluctant to tell us what his role's going to look like. So maybe we'll find some of that out today. But, yeah, they're saying all the right things. You know, and I will say this, you know, and again, I've been wrong before. I know that comes as a surprise to some, but, mm-hmm. You know, I thought he was contrite, like authentically contrite. I really did. I thought that's how he came off I thought he meant it. I didn't think he was just, because Lord knows I have attended more than my share of guys doing those press things where they have to act like they're sorry and they're not really sorry. Sorry, not sorry. And I thought he came off as authentically apologetic for being a selfish knucklehead.
Do you think that he didn't even realize did he think he was just trying to be a showman, you know, the last couple, especially, do you think it really started? Remember, was it last year he did the post-game interview after he got, was it the pick that he got that got all that national publicity? Do you think that, because he always was kind of charismatic, and that kind of, that turned the tide for Jair, where all of a sudden he wanted to become a character, like a pro wrestler?
I do think he was trending that way, right? And the last time he had talked to us before the self-appointed captaincy, he had two wrestling belts over his shoulders and his sunglasses on, and he announced to everybody, let the lying begin. And the juxtaposition between his behavior that day and his behavior on Wednesday was night and day. And so, again, maybe this is a one-time thing. Maybe, you know, this offseason he's going to want to go play somewhere else. I don't know that. So we can't just swallow this all hook, line, and sinker. But, again, he came off as genuine on Wednesday, but I'm not sure that this story is fully written just yet.
Talk with our Packers guy, Jason Wilde, thanks to the Bayside Supper Club and Columbus Family Dental. Now, but it would be very hard for the Packers, salary cap-wise, to trade him in the offseason, or, I mean, if he ends up somewhere else, if he truly doesn't want to be here, is that the case, Jason?
I mean, they can restructure stuff. They can do all kinds of things. I just, the idea that if he's going to be a problem and they don't want him anymore or and he doesn't want to be here anymore, they'll find a way to make it work. And, you know, they've had the success they've had this year while carrying $41 million in dead cap for Aaron Rodgers. So the idea that, oh, well, trading him is going to be a cap strain. I mean, look at what they've done with Rodgers on their books. He won't be on their books next year. Now, you know, Bakhtiari, what's weird about Bakhtiari is, you know, yeah, he's got big cap numbers, but he actually, if they move on from him, and I think they will, you know, it is not devastating to their cap at all if they do that. So, you know, I don't think the two guys that I wonder about their futures, because if they did move on from them, it would be before the ideal time in their contracts to do so, are Devondre Campbell and Jair Alexander. And I don't know, maybe they move on from both, maybe they move on from neither, but neither one of those contracts are ideal to move on from after this season, but I don't think that would stop them from moving on from them if that's what ends up being the right move.
So, speaking of Devondre Campbell, I discovered his lovely wife on Twitter, Mrs. Campbell. Have you been following her on Twitter?
I am not, but I saw somebody in our little transcription pool mentioned that she does not like Joe Barry.
No, she doesn't. She does not like the fans either for a while. So I came across it, and Mrs. Campbell, if you follow her on Twitter, for a while, especially in the last couple of weeks after he had his tweet that he put out there, she was kind of saying everything. I think he was either typing on her Twitter account, or she was just giving, oh, I love Green Bay. Just seemed like she didn't like playing for the Packers at this point.
Really? I don't follow her. I'm not aware. I feel like I have not done a good job of being a reporter. What kind of stuff does she say on there?
No, I came across it while I was, because I was on vacation. Somebody retweeted one of her things, and she kept coming back to saying, oh, we love Green Bay, we love being here. But then around that, it was almost like you were getting, like, you know, disappointing things about people and fans and not having... I should have actually followed her, but I didn't, like, actually follow her. I just was reading. And it was interesting because it was just kind of trying to read between lines where she didn't want to get her husband in trouble, but you could tell, oh, here, I just found it here. Hold on a second. Mrs. Campbell, it is, and she's got 1,038 followers now, but now she's
sad. Influencer.
Yeah, now she's sad. Now Mrs. Campbell, she hasn't, she's so sad. Christmas is over. Happy New Year. 2023 went fast. For those of you so worried about my tweets, I want to go to the beach, I want to spend time with my husband, and I want my kids to see their dad. Yes, I want them to make the playoffs. Now relax and enjoy your fine afternoon. That was the last football-related tweet that she had. Before that, I never will understand how people will go to another person's social media and feel the need to be rude and disgusting. Keep scrolling if you don't like what you see here. It takes zero money and zero time to be kind. Before that, her tweet was... No, before that, this is her tweet. Before that, her tweet was, I can't wait for this season to be over.
Oh.
Yes. it was, thank you, Lions. And,
oh, my gosh, that's terrible.
I know. She was wondering. So, So, Mrs.
Oh, Campbell, that's nice.
Yeah.
You know, that's nice.
She loves her husband. So,
thank you, Lions.
Yeah, we all do.
No. So, Jason, Packers, Bears, is this going to be a – you think this is going to be much closer than that first one?
Yes, I think it's going to be a close game. It's going to come down to the end. I think the Packers are going to win, and they're going to go to the playoffs.
And this came actually from Corey Sparks, who is now in charge here.
Corey Sparks.
Corey Sparks is in the building, but we'll have an ESPN BD Twitter poll every single day. And he says, Jason, he goes, Wade, ask Wilde – from our Twitter poll, if the Packers make the playoffs, would you rather have them face a Mike McCarthy-led Cowboys team or the Detroit Lions?
Well, I love Mike, and the Cowboys are really good at home. So if you're a Packers fan, I think you probably feel better about going into Detroit and beating the Lions, don't you?
Yeah, I would think so.
Like, I would. So I'm the wrong guy to ask because I'm not cheering for the team. But if I was and I wanted them to advance, I think I would rather face the Lions because they are an inconsistent group now. Like, they're – so are the Packers, don't get me wrong. But, like, there are times when the Lions look like nobody can beat them, and then there's other times where I'm kind of like, ew. I would say this, though. They got completely hosed in Dallas, and I think Dan Campbell's going to get those guys really revved up in the postseason. They could be really dangerous.
You know, and I'm a realist. The Packers, whether they make the playoffs or not, I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. But
gutsy call, I know. Wow, way to put yourself out there.
No. But what I'm going here with this is, I really want, as much as I'm not a huge Dallas Cowboys fan, I really want Mike McCarthy to win a Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys. I do.
I'm with you.
You know,
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you.
The only guy
agree.
Much maligned Mike McCarthy, the only coach ever to win Super Bowls with two separate teams. I mean, you know, that would put him in the Hall of Fame, wouldn't it?
It would. It would be pretty awesome if he gets that opportunity. I'd be thrilled for him, that's for sure.
Just get there. There's nobody on the AFC side this year. Is there that you're looking at and like, oh, there's no chance that they can beat that squad?
Yeah, I don't think so. And look, you know, Holmgren went to Super Bowls to two different teams, right? He's not in the Hall of Fame yet, but I think he will be in the coming years, hopefully next year because he didn't make it this year. But, you know, I think it would be great for Mike McCarthy. Just to get there would be impressive. And he is – I understand fans have some frustrations with him. They have criticisms of his coaching, and some of those are deserved. But there's no better dude that I've covered. He's a good human being, and – I would be happy for him. So, I don't know. They got to take care of the Bears first before we worry about who they got to play.
So, going to be a close game, edge of our seat type of game, or you think the Packers will win this, not saying like 40-3, but they think they'll have a comfortable victory?
No, I think like 24-20 is kind of the feel that I get.
All right. Jason Wilde, our Packers guy. Again, can we talk next Friday maybe, regardless of what happens?
No, I'm done with you no matter what. My contract,
what?
I work here. You get me.
In other words, you have no choice. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Like, obviously, like, you think I would choose to do this? Actually, for the record, I did choose to do this. Like, I enjoy this. This is a great thing to do on Friday. I'm happy to talk to you. And in the off season, I'm happy to do it once a month. Like, you act like I'm not royalty. You know, I'm not the one walking in over rose petals or being carried through the threshold by Lenny.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not that important. So I'm happy to do it. Yes, let's plan on next Friday, win, lose, or draw.
And then we'll pencil you in once a month to do our – because NFL's a 12-month-a-year thing now anyway, so.
It is, exactly. Now, does Ninja still even work there?
See, it's funny that that's came up because Ninja's been out on vacation. Ninja's been sick. And he does still work here. Yes, he does.
He's also been focusing on a lot of projects that he's been working on in the morning, so he's not been on the show with us a lot.
Oh, projects.
Well,
like he's building Legos?
Yes, exactly.
Well, he's our like head of video, and you've kind of seen the great work that we do with Daily Dodge TV. So Justin has a lot of like stuff on his plate, and then he's been doing 9:30 to 11 o'clock as well. So he's like, guys, you know, he sometimes takes these 2 hours to get some of that stuff done.
Yeah.
So
okay. All right. Well, we all have priorities. Yeah, I won't take it personally.
Yeah, that's okay, Jason. Hey, I appreciate all you do. Enjoy. What do you think they'll have for the regular season finale at Lambeau for the pregame meal for you?
Yeah, this is disappointing. I wanted it to be a noon game so we'd have one more shot at the omelet bar. There's a chef who makes omelets for us on noon games and 3:25 games. That is not the case. So I will have to live without my omelet. And it's a rough life, but somehow I will persevere and overcome.
You know what? I would choose the omelet bar over the rose petals, just so you know.
Yeah, but if you step on an egg, it could be slippery, and that's the whole thing. You got to be careful.
Hopefully they don't just put the old brat buffet out there for you. Hopefully you get some lasagna or something like that, or some chicken breasts or something.
I'll let you know. I'll get you a review of the culinary options.
All right, Jason Wilde, appreciate all you do, and let's talk Packers playoff next week.
All right, sounds good, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Look at that. Jason Wilde, Sherry Sackett, coming with his A-game, as always.
Always.
And Mike and Doreen over at the Bayside Supper Club, they always have their A-game going on, as does Dr. Adam and his staff at Columbus Family Dental, which we'll be broadcasting from Columbus Family Dental in the next few weeks.
Sometime before the end of the month, yep.
One last Columbus Family Dental mystery Green Bay player this Sunday.
Yep.
1 o'clock the pregame show, 3:25 the kickoff. Listen, call in on Monday. And you could win yourself that Sonic Care toothbrush.
And an entry into the end of the season drawing.
All right, sounds good. This is 95.3 WBEV.
Hi, this is Dr. Adam Forster at Columbus Family Dental. If